Kay Bess, and this is The Beehive. Women in Voiceover, the voices of the fairer sex that keep the wheels of commerce and creativity moving in this country. Voices you hear every day, but names you likely don't know until now. Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Beehive. My guest today is Nicole Balick. You have likely heard Nicole on any number of radio and TV spots for Gatorade, Oreo Thins, Shell Gasoline, Reynolds Wrap, and Eggo Waffles. She's done a lot of voice matching of late for celebrities such as Marion Cotillard, Amy Poehler, Anne Hathaway, and Helena Bonham Carter. And in an amazing display of longevity, she was the voice of the Style Network for 15 years. That is virtually unheard of and a testament to your staying power, Nicole. Welcome to The Beehive. I'm so happy that you're here. Okay, so I know this question for listeners. I'm sure they can guess which question I ask first. How did you first get started in voiceover?
So my degree from college is in film production with a theater minor, and I had been in acting all of high school. I was drama club president. By the time I finished high school, I actually had three drama classes in high school. And my parents did not want me to act. And so I got a degree in film production. But as soon as college was over, I went right back into acting. And it was the 90s, not to date myself, but it was the 90s. And people kept saying, oh, you sound like Demi Moore. You sound like Demi Moore. You should do voiceover. You should do voiceover. And I was like, oh, okay. So I took a group voiceover class.
Were you in Los Angeles this whole time?
I was.
Okay, so you grew up
I went to college. I came here for college. I came here.
So where did you grow up?
In Southern California.
You did?
Okay. Yeah, all over Southern California.
Okay, got it.
So I took a group voiceover class. And
do you remember where?
Yes, and I took it in the Valley somewhere. And I can't remember exactly where. I took it in the Valley. And I think I'm almost 100% certain it was Jessica G that was teaching the group class, and then I ended up taking individual lessons from her.
I don't know who that is.
She's a voiceover person. She and her husband are like a team, and she works quite a bit too. Sometimes it's so interesting how I feel like we all know each other, and then you find out about someone new, and you're like, what? How has that person been around for so long?
How do I not know them?
I know.
Doesn't it make you, like, I always get a little suspect, like, really?
I know. It's so interesting.
Really? You do voiceover? So, I've never heard of you.
So I took a group class. I immediately knew I loved it. Immediately taking the class, I thought, oh my gosh, I like this quite a bit. So then a friend of a friend, as it always is, worked on Road Rules for MTV.
Ah.
And they needed someone to do the questions. There was team things and there was a question. And I would go in the studio and they were directing me and I read all the questions. And that, in that moment, I never really wanted to do on camera again. I just wanted to do voiceover. It was so wonderful because you could be creative, yet you weren't in front of the camera, which for me was very hard. I was not great. Even though I wanted to act, I think I wanted to stage act more than I wanted
yes.
to be in front of the camera.
Yeah,
when I was young, I just didn't want that judgment.
So voiceover
was wonderful right away. So it was good.
I had the exact same experience taking a voiceover class after majoring in theater in college.
Yeah.
And once I sort of got my first job, it was like, wow, I don't have to put makeup on.
I have goosebumps.
Yeah.
You feel like that. You're like, this is so great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still get to call myself an actress.
Yes.
You know?
Because it really is.
Yeah.
It's really great. I really like it. So, yeah. So that's how I started trying to get it, you know, trying to really move forward into voiceover.
So at what point did you land an agent?
So I had a really small agent to begin with, and I only went in for auditions like twice a month. I thought that was the norm. I was like, great. I would book. I was like, great. I booked a little thing here, a little thing there. And then finally the engineer of that agency who was this young guy, this young kid, said, listen, you got to leave. This, you're good, and they're not doing it for you. You got to walk away. And I was like, really? He's like, yes. So
it's so sweet.
It was so nice because I submitted all my work, and then I submitted to SBV, and I went in and met with everybody, and they were like, oh my gosh, yes, what do you want out of this? And I said, I want to book this, and these are the kinds of things. I want to do promos. I love this new network called the Style Network.
Wow.
It was crazy. It's just like I put it out there. I want all of this. And they were like, great, come in tomorrow. We have three pieces of copy for you. And I was like, what? And I went in, and I went in, you know, those were the days. I had a piece. I would go in every single day. And yeah. it was a game changer. Like everything flipped.
Yeah.
And then right away, pow, exploded with like, well, from where I was to nothing.
Sure.
To, like, I was working.
Really working.
Really working. And yeah. So it was wonderful. It was just, I knew it was what I wanted to do forever.
Yeah.
It was great.
Nicole and I shared, dear listener, Nicole and I shared an agency for a while.
We were at the same place, which is where we met.
We met in the lobby.
In the lobby.
As old timers now say. Because we all, now in voiceover, we all have home studios. Mm-hmm. And it used to be that we would... nobody had a home studio except, you know, the one promo guy who worked every single day and couldn't leave his house.
Right.
You know, but
it was only those really big promo guys.
Yeah, really big promo guys. And so the rest of us would come into our agent's office and they would have copy waiting there for us. And we all got to sit around and talk to each other.
Yeah.
And we knew each other.
We'd go out for lunch after, have coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you'd be on your way. Because then there'd be auditions all over the city. Like you'd be driving to Santa Monica and Hollywood and the Valley. And we drove quite a lot in those days. We were driving.
You know, I think I'm guessing just by the years that you've mentioned that like I was a decade ahead of you with all of this. And when I first started, we had pagers.
Oh, yes.
So we had pagers.
Yes. I was at the tail end of the pager.
Yeah, we had pagers, which was so exciting to get a pager. It was like, only doctors have pagers, you know? So we had pagers. And then when you would get a page, you had to stop and find a payphone.
Right. You'd pull off the freeway.
Yeah, you had to carry quarters in your car, you know, not just for the parking meter, but for a payphone to call your agent.
But it was a slower time.
It was.
Things weren't expected to, like, ASAP.
Yeah.
Mostly auditions were due the next day or 2 days later. They sent them out, like, on a disc, remember? So,
or reel to reel.
Or reel to reel or DAT.
DAT. Yeah, it went through the whole process.
So it just seemed like one of the things I liked the most about that time was you had time to work on stuff. I feel like sometimes we miss out on that because of the rush to turn over stuff. I feel like we as actors sometimes don't get to really look at the copy and really take our time with it and think it over, especially with voice matching. It used to be I had 2 or 3 days to voice match someone and I would rent the movie. Like I would go down to the store, I'd rent the movie, I would watch their mouth and their face and where their teeth were with their tongue and like take notes and really become that actor. And then I would have the audition the next day. And that now it's, here's a line, here's a sample, we need it back right away.
Yeah, we need it back by 2 o'clock this afternoon. Yeah. Yeah, and that's really, that is intricate work,
I think.
And there's some stuff, some voice matching stuff, I've done very, very little of it, and it's only those women, I sit in that same little pocket of resonance. And I can do a British accent, but you know, so like Emma Thompson every once in a while. But who hasn't
seen
that
for sure?
But it requires really being able to listen. And so most of the time I pass on those because I go, I don't have time to really, and I don't want to be bad. I don't want to send it to me that's bad.
But no, I agree with that.
Yeah. And I think probably the only area right now where it seems like we have time is with animation and gaming. But even that, you don't have a lot of time.
Right.
So we used to go in to the agencies where we were represented. And then, you're right, we would like shake the dust off our feet and we were on our way to go to out-of-house auditions. And then you were kind of free.
Yeah.
You know, like your evenings were your own.
Right, for sure.
And now we all have home studios.
Right.
The vast majority of people have home studios. And I think if you don't have a home studio, you're kind of getting left behind.
Absolutely.
What's your home studio like?
My home studio, I have had ISDN for 15 years. It's a long time.
And you still do.
I use it a lot. My agency I'm with now, if I really feel like I want to ISDN reads, like I feel like their TV. Audition reads, yes.
Okay.
And their TV or something really, like it's going to be big. I'd rather have some feedback. So I have my MacBook Pro. I am now using Twisted Wave instead of Pro Tools because it's awesome.
Pro Tools is just a giant beast.
I'm so happy when Twisted Wave came.
I know. It's like a huge weight off your shoulders.
Yes, huge. And I use like a Mackie board and the interface. And then I have a Neumann TLM 103,
okay,
which I prefer for me.
And why do you prefer it? What is it about that microphone?
I just feel like it's warmer. I feel like the shotgun mics, I feel like they're more tinny, like it's a higher register for me. And I
okay.
just like the Neumann. It's warmer. I can get really intimate with it in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
I know that sounds funny. But I've always used it. I love it. I love that mic. I just adore it. So, and I just have my space, and it's a room. And it has a window out the door so that I can see my children when they come up. And try to knock on the door and interrupt me when I'm working.
Is it a like a whisper room? Is it?
It's a closet
in our house.
Yes, it's a closet,
okay.
And it's not soundproof, but it's a quiet space.
Yeah. Is it sort of toward the center of your house?
Yes, it's in the center of the house. Exactly right.
Good place for tornadoes.
And it's great because it lets a lot of light. Right, it lets a lot of light in with the window, obviously. But I like being in the house still because I still have like a young kid. I still have a 3-year-old. And that way they can sit out there and do what they do. I mean, when my first daughter was born, I took her in the booth with me.
Yeah.
She would go in there. A lot of personal information, but I would nurse and work at the same time.
And done that too.
Yes.
I used to do it at CBS.
Yes. Oh, that's right. I think you told me that story. I was like, oh, good. We're all in the same boat.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's my home studio, which I love it, and it works great.
Have you been living where you are now for 15 years?
No. Okay. I have been there for 9 years.
Okay.
And before that, I had a condo in Hollywood for like 5 years, and then an apartment. I started with the ice in that apartment, and that was a genuine closet. Like, there were clothes, and my mic was buried in the clothes, and I was working in that closet. But I remember that feeling when I first needed ISDN. I was like, this is it.
This is awesome.
Here I go. You know, it was so exciting. Yeah, I still feel that excited about voiceover. I still really love it.
Isn't it amazing to do something for so long and not be bored by it and be excited about what is coming in?
Yes.
Like, what kind of auditions? Sometimes I get auditions and I'm like, oh, I'm so excited.
Yes.
You know,
Totally. Isn't that funny?
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
I attribute that to the fact that we were not always working for the same people. The copy is different.
Right.
The place where we work, you know, is not the same every single day.
Right.
Every once in a while, we head out to, you know, a studio somewhere. I mean, I was in a studio in Woodland Hills yesterday.
Right.
You know, and it's different. I get there. I get to go someplace.
Right. And then the people you talk to, the producers you work with, all, you know, everybody is so different as well. But most people, and one of the things I've loved about this business from the get-go, is the way people treated voiceover people compared to when I started on camera back then.
Yeah.
What the amount of respect immediately that people have for you as a voiceover and your talent was 100% different than commercial auditions.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I love the collaboration and feeling like, hey, I like where we're going with this, but let me tweak it for you and show you what I can do. And people are receptive to that.
Yes.
They are like, oh, great, okay. And they take your ideas. And
it's like your partners in
creating
something.
Yes, it's exactly right. Like your partners, in something. And I love that part of it.
In the best of circumstances, it really does feel like a collaboration. And
right.
It's very rare, you know, that you run across people who sort of don't respect what you do,
right.
Your piece of it.
Right.
And it isn't to say, I realize it's just my piece.
Right.
And I think there's an ease about that, of knowing that it's not all about you.
Yeah.
You know, that you get to do your part to help make the thing what it is.
Right.
You know, can't, you know, without the music, there's something missing.
Exactly right.
Without the visual, there's something missing, you know.
Yeah.
So it's lovely. And
it is
ultimately to me like creating a piece of music.
Yes.
Especially if you have great writing and great visuals.
I know. You have those really special pieces.
Yeah. So what's the best voiceover job you've had?
You know, I would say style is the best job I ever had. I was very, very fortunate to be the voice of the Style Network for 10 years. I learned so much. I met such wonderful people. I loved the job. It was just a blessing to have that security because it was a contract, and those are almost null. I don't even know if they do contracts anymore for any networks.
Were on a contract with them?
Yes, I had a contract with them.
Wow.
And then they wanted to hear, when my contract was up, they re-auditioned, and I asked to re-audition, and they picked me again. And then...
That's so awesome.
3 years later, they re-auditioned for an entirely different tone, and I re-auditioned again, and they chose me again. And I was so
Nicole,
like, God,
so that's insane.
Yeah, so it was 10 full years at Style Network and E. I worked every day, every single day. And at the beginning, I had to drive down. There was a thing in my contract where I had to drive down to E and work in the booth like a certain amount of hours.
And where was E at the time?
On Wilshire.
Yeah. Across from the
across
Union?
Across from SAG. That's okay. Right.
That's just almost unheard of. I mean, I think in my introduction, I said it's unheard of to be the voice of something for 15 years, but let alone re-auditioning and being booked.
I know. It was amazing. I was so happy. And, you know, at the time, there were also more contracts for men. I mean, I knew the guy, Michael McCall was the voice of E, and he was there as long as I was. And, you know, then Style ended. The network dissolved, and that was the end of it. And it was hard. I'd known some of these men and women, especially for 10 years. It was so weird to just move on. But the whole time I was working with them, I was still doing promos and commercials.
Sure.
And some animation for, you know, other jobs as well. But that job definitely was an amazing job. I will never forget it.
That ranks among like the best stories of the best jobs because
I did
2 years. I did the dealer spots for Hyundai.
Oh yeah.
And at the end of that, and that was not under contract. That was just.
Mm-hmm. It just kept coming.
I was at SBV, and I remember Cynthia telling me, Hyundai wants to use you for all their stuff. And she said, it's not under contract. And I stopped and I was like, well, should I do it? You know, like, because everything was under contract, you know, that was at the time when people were not offering contracts anymore.
Right.
That was the beginning. Right. And she said, I do think you should take it. I mean, it was a serious question,
mm-hmm.
not like, mm-hmm. because everything I knew before was if you do a car company, you have a contract.
Right.
That's just what, you know. So anyway, it ended up to be a 2-year thing. But when it came around that all of a sudden the copy was coming in and they were auditioning, and I remember, you know, I got the copy to audition,
right,
and
right.
I said, should I do this? I said, I mean, they know what I do. And
right.
she said, I loved this. You know, she said, I think you should fight for your job. You know, I was like,
exactly right.
Wow. I that thought never crossed my mind.
Right. You fight. And that's what I said when I was with my agent. I was like, I want to fight. I want this job. And I think I can do it. They've changed the specs. I can do that. They see me as this one person, but I know I can do that other person because I'm still a working actor. And so I fought for it.
Yeah. I love that. This is the skill that I did not possess that I now just starting to cultivate, right? Pardon the dinging, everyone. We can't figure out whose phone, what iPad, what computer is
dinging.
But it's somewhere in the room. And well, that'll just be the mystery of the day. That is just, I could gush over you for another 15 minutes about the miracle of that job.
Yeah, it was great.
That's great. So tell me what on the other, on the 180 for that, have you ever had a voiceover job that was just a nightmare and you couldn't wait to get out of the room?
I have. I have had that job. I have had a job that paid very well in one day. It was many, 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 many promos for a certain concert venue.
Which shall go unnamed.
Which shall go unnamed. And the person producing it just massacred me with line reading and doing it over, and we want it lower, and we want it more textured, and we want it more sultry, but this hit this word, and this word, and it was an all-day session, and it was, again, it paid very well. It was like a ton of radio spots, a ton, like 20. And I did it 2 years in a row. And on the second year, I thought, I can't, I never want to do this again. I don't want to ever meet this person out ever.
It's not worth it.
It wasn't. It was really hard. And now I'm like, oh, what was I thinking? It was such a good job. It's not like I said no, but I think our energy on the last time I read with him, I would never, ever talk back to a producer. I've never said to somebody, I will not read it like that. I just do my job. You know, usually a short session, but I just do it. But I could just tell we weren't in sync, and he wasn't like loving it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It sounded great to me, but it was just one of those things that was really difficult. I don't know who they ever used the next year around.
Yeah.
But that was hard. And you leave that session feeling like, oh, what was I doing? How did I not hear him? Was I not? You kind of doubt yourself for a minute. Like, did I not give them what they wanted? I mean, he picked me again. He knows my voice. He knows what I can do. And it sounds great, but it was just a really, it just walked away from it feeling like defeated almost, like, God, that was a rough day at the office kind of thing, you know? But for the most part, it's all been, I love it. I just love all the work.
Yeah.
So
almost everybody that I've encountered, they can count on one hand the number of intolerable jobs, you know?
Right.
That it's mostly great work and people are great to work for.
Right.
And, you know, it's... Those are the kinds of days where when somebody says, oh, your job isn't hard, you know, where you go, well, you end up feeling pummeled, you know, and like nothing you do is satisfying. And when that goes on for hours, you walk out and you do feel deflated, you know?
You know, my dad has come with me to work a couple times at Style. And he was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea what he's been in the house when I've auditioned. But being there, watching me talk to picture promo-wise and fitting certain words into certain seconds and coming in right after the SOT ends and ending right at the SOT beginning, he was like, I had no idea. You really have to know what you're doing.
Yes.
And it enlightened him quite a bit, I think, back then to what it took, like the skill it actually took to do it. And then he would talk to people about it and say, you know, imagine going on whatever, 50 job interviews a month, and you only get offered the one job, or you only get offered four or five jobs out of the 50.
Yeah.
He's like, imagine that. Like, you go and you have to have a job. And that's what it's like. We're interviewing for a job every time we do an audition.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and we don't get the majority of them.
The vast majority. I mean, again, back when before we were recording from home and had internet, and you know, we went to our agents and we went to casting houses. And when you went to the voice caster, maximum there were 20 women.
I know.
Reading. And so that was a big casting.
Right.
Most of the time it was 10.
Right.
You know, and so you really did have this sense of like, well, I have a 1 in 10 shot at
this. And you did. It was great.
Yeah. And so every once in a while, it was your turn and you would book it. Everybody in the room could do the job. We all knew that.
Right.
You know, but now it's hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds of people. Thousands sometimes, I bet.
It's very, you know, I don't even know how you pick.
If I were a producer, I wouldn't go that route. I really would go. I would go to a casting house.
Yeah, me too.
Like, bring me your best 20 people.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to sift through
100 people? How do you even remember number one?
I know.
I just don't know. I don't know. It is different. And back then too, we would go to auditions at studios. When I was looping, it was for voice matching, I would go in the studio to record, to audition. Now I never go into a studio to voice match anymore. I just do the lines ISDN.
Even for the work.
Even for the work.
Wow. That's
I know. Because I used to go in and watch them and read along, and now they just make it work. I don't know. I just do, they send me, I audition, I book it. It's all done in the past. I think I was telling you about when I booked Drew Barrymore in duplex. And she, I was told she always does her own looping. Like, it's really important to her as a business person, which I thought was great, because some people don't want to do their looping and you go and do it for them.
Yeah.
But she was on tour for Charlie's Angels and she was not in studio. And they were like, we really need you to do it. So I got to study her. I got rented a movie, watched her, wrote down. I recorded her on my little recorder so that I could, because I didn't have iPhone then.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, come. I booked it. Come in the studio and we'll record it to picture. Great. I go into the studio at like Warner Brothers or something. And I have my little thing so I can keep playing her back because she's very specific. And they're like, okay, match this line. Great. Okay, you sound great. Everything's good. I sound just like her, which is so, sometimes it's so weird when you hear someone's voice come out of your face. It's like weird. I don't even know how I can explain
it. That's amazing.
It. It's so weird.
Yeah.
So in walks Ben Stiller. And I was like, they're like, oh, Ben's coming in. I was like thinking that was just the director or whatever. And Ben Stiller comes in and I was like, hi. And he's like, hey. He goes, so what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm voice matching Drew's lines. And he was like, wait. What? And I was like, yeah, I'm voiceover actor. And he was like, you do that? And like, I guess he'd never really thought about it or something, which is so unusual. And he's like, well, we need to run some lines together. And I said, okay, so we're running lines. And they're like, okay, so you guys are just, it's a wide shot and they're walking through this park. He's like, you guys are just going to improv. And I was like,
whoa.
Wait. Wait a minute.
I would have been like, you have the wrong person.
You want me to improv in another woman's voice with this actor?
I thought
my mind was going to explode. I was like, okay. So I played her voice and then we did it. And his eyes were staring at me like, he's like, oh my God, you sound just like her. This is crazy. And I was like, okay. It was so weird. But I mean, it was like an hour of us working and going, like making up different things we were talking about, some funny, some serious for this moment between them. And it was super fun. I just remember walking out thinking, wow, that was so much fun. That was really just an aspect of the job I'd never thought about and how cool that was. It was so much fun. And then I did something way back for Angelina Jolie and she had to carry like a dead body. So she was... breathing and like talking and they're like, you have to make up lines and hold the body and carry it. And I was like, well, okay. Like you're
now I'm doing Foley.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like you think you're just going to copy someone's line, but now a lot of times they have new lines. It used to be, you just fit in, you know, like lip flaps, like,
yeah.
Or they'd edit the stuff out, like the bad words. But now it's a lot of, they're just adding new lines and they just hire voiceover person to do it because it's just faster and easier.
My whole world of voiceover is like the script. If I have a job where, you know, they're like, can you send me the script? And they'll be like, it's just one line. And I'll say, well, what's the line? Call by Friday for your free offer.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I have to write that down. You know, like, it's so ridiculous because it's so attached to visual.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
I
agree
something.
With that though too.
So just the notion of improvising in another person's voice.
I know. I mean,
that's the thing.
It's so weird.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And just crazy.
And you're hoping the whole time, God, I hope I still sound like her. Because your brain is like spinning while you're trying to do this, like thinking, oh my God, I hope I'm getting it right. But it worked out.
That is a remarkable skill. So we were talking a little bit earlier off mic, and I want to bring it on mic, about marketing. Mm-hmm. We're talking about marketing and how we prioritize our careers. And what happens then when you have a family and how those priorities change and what the effect is on a career. So I just am curious about how that's changed for you, because as you said, when you first started, you were very conscious and aware of marketing. So
right.
Why don't you start there and tell us the kinds of things that you did.
Well, when I first started out, I was very aware of marketing and I'm creative, but I'm also like a type A personality. So I saw voiceover as a business, not just as a creative outlet. I saw that I wanted to generate the work and have relationships and foster those relationships to get more work. So I made sure, you know, back in the time when you had your demo, you know, everything on it was graphics were right, pictures were right. As soon as people started doing websites, I had a website ready to go with my demos on there. I updated my demos often when VoiceBank had the little star thing. I popped on that. Okay, I'll get that. Have the star by my name. I made sure that when I, at every holiday, I would bring all my agents, like on Easter, everybody got, you know, blow up bunnies, or at like, you know, Christmas, everybody got their own little thing. And it didn't have to be, you know, at the time when I was first starting out, it wasn't like I spent thousands of dollars on this stuff. I mean, blow up bunnies from some little company, you know, you could buy a dozen for like 15 bucks.
Yeah.
But there they were, like the whole agency had these bunnies all over their desk. It was adorable. And when I had style, I made sure that I took them all out, all my producers. I spent the money to take them all out for dinner or cocktails every Christmas. It was like my big thing. And I spent a lot of money then, but I was making more money then to really make sure that they knew I appreciated them. I would take my agents for Christmas tea at the Peninsula Hotel every Christmas, and everybody would get dressed up and we'd all sit there together.
That's
and we'd
so
all
great.
Have to. It was wonderful. And I made formal invitations. It's like the little things that I felt like at the time would really make them know I appreciated them.
Yeah.
It was a constantly feeling grateful for the work, which I still feel grateful for the work. Now, I probably should do more marketing. I probably should develop those relationships more with my agency, but it's harder. Now I'm farther away. Before,
right.
I lived right up the street from my agency. Now they're in Beverly Hills and I'm in Pasadena, and now I have kids and pickup, and if they have any after school activities and homework. And now I can't just travel on in there either, because at any moment, someone has an audition for you. You're almost like you have to kind of hover around your home base.
Right.
Right. Because at any time, someone's like, oh, they need you for this, or, oh, this audition's ASAP. So
right.
I always kind of feel like it's actually harder to just go and take a trip and say hi, because you got to get back. So I still keep my website updated. I still have very cute business cards. I've thought about doing more social media as well. You know, like my handle is Mama Behind the Mic, and I do have a website that I have not updated in forever, because that alone takes a long time.
Yes.
But I do appreciate the fact that I am a mom and a voiceover actor. My daughter is a voiceover actor, so my husband. So we're kind of like a voiceover little happy Booth family. But but I still think
Booth
the marketing
gets a lot of work.
It does.
Yeah, that's great.
It does. But the marketing, I still feel like it's imperative. You have to see it as a business, voiceover.
Something interesting about what you've said about what your marketing was, it's really centered around expression of gratitude.
Right.
And I think that's so important to see marketing in those terms, not about, hey, look at me. Hey, pay attention to me.
Right.
Hey, I want more work.
Right.
Well, duh. I mean,
right.
That's sort of
that?
A given, right?
Right.
But the idea that you can't do what you do without the relationships that you have.
Right.
And to express gratitude for those relationships, your agents, your producers,
right.
The engineers that you get
Absolutely.
To know and work with. And when you're lucky enough, you know, if on a game or whatever, that you get to meet the writers, the developers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people,
oh, yeah,
my gosh,
I would.
They're insanely creative.
Absolutely.
And
I
you
would,
can't do what you do without them.
I would, yeah. Like when I have a big campaign like you did for Hyundai, I would
That's why I booked it, Nicole.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. I bet. You got to say it right. Always do your research. Always do your research. That's a tip. I would send baskets. You know, you've got to send
yeah.
baskets at Christmas to your agents. You need to send, like if you have a big campaign, like I did PetSmart for like almost 3 years, I would send them a big box of, you know, a big wine basket full of like 10 bottles of wine, or, you know, big thing of champagne, or just some, and it doesn't have to be tons of money, but it needs to, there's lots of discounty places.
And also just to be thoughtful.
Just
like,
to be thoughtful.
Do you know this person well enough and they mention to you how much they love knitting?
Exactly,
you know,
right.
Get them a skein of yarn and
That's
some,
right.
You know what I mean?
It means
yeah.
so much to people.
Yeah.
And they are so thankful. It's unexpected.
Right.
And I think that keeps you in their mind. It just is like the right thing to do. It's
yeah.
like saying, thank you so much for working with me.
Yeah.
You know?
For trusting your product to me.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
that's really what is happening when they're hiring us, you know?
Right.
How do you, or how have you dealt with the vast amount of rejection there is, as we talk about statistics of how many auditions we read for? And also, I'm sure you've had this experience. I don't think I've ever spoken to anyone in voiceover who hasn't. You've been replaced, or you didn't get the job that you thought you were going to have, or a dream job that slipped through your fingers.
For sure. Well, I will say now, auditions are different because of the so many people reading on them.
Yeah.
Like before, I would book a lot more with a smaller amount, I think, of auditions because they only saw LA and New York.
Right.
And maybe Chicago. But now with agencies all over the country, there's a lot more competition. And sometimes you think you're going to nail it and you don't. And that's hard. I will say a struggle for me now is that this is my speaking voice and it's lovely. And that's why I went into the business, because people told me how great it was. And it, I speak normally. I enunciate. I have this nice, sweet voice. But it's changed. Voiceover has changed. Now it's millennial or textured, and or like you just pick up and read it.
And it's upspeak and it's
And that's hard for me. I sound lovely naturally, which is why I did well in the business. Yeah. So now this decade, I would say at least for sure the last 5 years, I have to really work at not sounding great, at sounding
like you're not a voice actor.
Right. Because when I read to my kids, it's beautiful. It's like, sounds lovely. My husband and I, when we have an argument, he's like, please don't talk to me in your voiceover voice. But I can't help it. That's how you get the message across.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Don't talk to me in your voiceover voice.
But I'm enunciating so you understand what I'm trying to get into your brain. But you can't help it. So you have
perfect.
To throw it all away and like really raw it out. And I will say that has been a struggle because it's not natural. It doesn't feel natural.
It's not natural to you.
No, it's not natural. Yeah. So I do that, and then I try to just give them how I interpret it and the best me I can give them in that vein.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works. Sometimes I still book sounding just like me, and then I have gotten lucky. Like sometimes I just booked this Gatorade spot, millennial voice, and I was like, holy heck, I did it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I did it. I finally booked the millennial voice. Yeah, but it's, that part has been rough. It's just changed. And when you have just a natural, nice voice, it's
interesting.
Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And articulate.
And articulate, mm-hmm. you know? And there are people I hear who have these quirky, wonderful, funky voices who are now doing voiceover. And I think you might have mentioned this before, who... You're like, oh my gosh, that sounds so weird.
The Southwest Airlines.
Yes, and VW.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
VW
I remember
did
that
something.
Too. Yes.
And I was like, wait,
what is that?
They like that? But now it's all that. It's this.
It's all folded into the landscape.
Yes.
Now. Yeah.
And you don't hear the same people. Like, back in the day, I'd be like, oh, there's so and so. Oh, there's so and so working.
Yeah.
And now it's just vast, many different styles, unless they're celebrity, like many different styles of voices. Voiceover,
yeah.
Which is wonderful for people who are coming into this business, but harder when this is your what you have, your instrument. Like
right.
you would say,
yeah.
your instrument is this smooth, articulate tool.
That's a part of accepting who you are.
Right.
Right. What you do right alongside the reality of how trends change. And do you change for the trend or do you continue to be who you are as the trend changes and hope you don't get left behind?
I know.
You walk a line. And I often tell people, I'm not a fan of upspeak, even though I recognize it as a particular style in the way people speak in the culture.
Right.
It reflects youth. So when someone says, can you sound younger? It's just, it's become a tool in the toolbox.
Right.
Where
you, exactly.
Where I don't do it all the time. If I did it all the time, I think you end up sounding like you have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
But you can use it every once in a while.
Right.
And all of a sudden, there's just a hint of you sounding a little younger.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to walk the line because otherwise you just don't sound like you.
Right.
And if you don't sound like you, then you're not authentic.
Absolutely.
And
right.
if you're not authentic, you're not going to work.
That's right.
Because through all of the trends I think people really just want somebody to tell them the truth.
Yes.
You know? So it's walking that line.
Yep.
That I think is what allows for any voice actor to have a long career. Okay, so we're coming to the end here, and I want to ask you some questions. I have this list of questions.
Okay.
Some are ridiculous. Some, like, maybe they'll make you cry. I don't know. I hope not. But if you do cry, I would like to hear it really authentic.
Okay. Not act. Yeah.
So, but here's what I'm because I have like 50 of them.
Oh, my Lord.
Of questions.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you 10.
Okay.
But you have to pick the number.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I'll read the question that correlates to the
number. Are you ready?
Yeah.
9.
Do you use sarcasm in your life?
Absolutely. Daily.
Daily.
Daily. 15.
15. What's your favorite ice cream?
Coffee ice cream is my favorite ice cream.
Any particular brand?
Yes. The local brand. You should know this. The one out of Santa Barbara.
McConnell's.
Yes. Love it.
That is great ice cream.
So good.
Okay. Another.
2.
2. What's your sign?
Leo. Leo.
Leo. Okay. That's 3. Okay. So.
20.
Oh, that's hilarious. There's no 20. Because I was 17. It goes 15, 17, 18, 21.
That's weird. Okay, I'll take 21. I'll take 21.
The last thing you ate.
Oh, I didn't eat even yet
you
today.
You haven't eaten?
No, I was too busy. What did I
eat? It's because you're a mom.
Eat. Oh, I made salmon last night. There we go. We're trying to eat more fish, so I ate salmon. It was good.
You know, I had trout for the first time forever. It was awesome.
I know. We need to eat more fish.
It was really good. I was shocked.
Okay. 29.
I don't have a 29.
30. You're just going to have to skip it.
So I guess there aren't really 50.
I guess not. There must be 25.
So you want 30.
30.
Okay. What's your dream vacation spot?
Anything sunny and beachy. Like Tahiti. I would love to go to Tahiti.
Have you ever been?
No.
No.
I also think I want to do like Bali. Like I've always wanted to do that.
Warm,
tropical,
beachy.
Warm, beachy. Beautiful. Yeah.
Okay. Next.
45.
What's your favorite TV show?
That's hard. I have to. Law and Order. I'm sorry, but I'm a lot. I will watch repeat of Law and Order all day. In terms of new shows, I really like that show Billions right now. That's out.
And where's Billions?
I think it's on Showtime.
Okay.
But Law and Order.
Law and Order.
Hands down.
Is the deal.
Any Law and Order at any time, any rerun, I will watch it.
Any iteration.
It's on constantly. Like,
yeah.
You can change
find
any
it
channel.
Anywhere.
You can find it anywhere.
That's true.
Okay. 41.
What's your favorite dessert?
Key lime pie, for sure. Key lime pie.
Okay.
These are hysterical. Okay. Next. 25.
25. Who was the last person you talked to on the phone?
My husband.
I think that, is that 6? Are we at 6?
I don't know. I would have to write it down.
We'll do 4 more. I know I started and then I'm like, lost control
11?
Of my fingers.
11?
11. Would you bungee jump?
Yes. I would.
Right.
7.
If you were another person, would you be friends with you?
I'm trying to think about that. I think so. I think I would be friends with me. Yeah. Okay. I say yes.
Okay. Good. All right.
It's a weird question.
3 more.
Okay. 2.
Oh, you picked 2 already.
Okay. 3.
When did you last cry?
I actually haven't cried. I'm a crier. I haven't cried much lately. I think it was probably during a movie. I tend to cry a lot during commercials and movies.
Commercials?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll just cry like a baby over. There was like some commercial where the guy dressed the dog up as a lion so that the little baby would like it. And I was like, ah, so great. Yeah, I'm a total sucker for any of that stuff.
That's
I cry
great.
Like a baby.
That's
okay.
Fantastic. Okay, 2 more.
Okay, 14. I already said that. 17.
No, you didn't do 14.
Okay, 14.
Do you think you're strong?
Ooh, that's tough. I used to be so strong. I used to be one of the strongest people ever knew.
So when you say strong, when you say I used to be one of the strongest, are you talking,
I'm talking
physically?
About, no.
Are you talking
mentally?
Constitutionally?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
My person, like I mentally was strong and now that I have kids, I'm softer. I worry more about them. Am I doing the right thing? I never would worry about that as a single person. I just did what I did. And just power through and do it. And now I'm like, oh, is this going to be okay? Are they going to be okay?
Parenting brings a lot of vulnerability.
Vulnerability. Ooh.
So true.
Okay.
Okay, one more.
17.
What is your least favorite thing about you?
Oh, it would be the vulnerable part now. I don't like it.
You don't like feeling vulnerable?
No, it's unfamiliar to me and it makes me uncomfortable. And then I think because I'm feeling vulnerable, I get mad that I'm feeling vulnerable. You know how you have that external anger thing?
Yeah.
I don't like feeling vulnerable or showing it. I want just people to think I have it all together and that's it. But
it's very vulnerable of you to say.
Yes, yes. And I now, honestly, I love my kids, but it is not all together anymore. It is not. It is like a whirlwind of, you know, I have three kids now. So I have a stepson and my daughter and an adopted daughter. So it's chaos always. Yeah. And I was used to controlled everything. Like, this is where the cup goes and this is where the lid goes. And now it's like, wow.
Yeah. I used to be really uptight about the cleanliness of my house. Mm-hmm. And now the only time I clean my house is when I have a guest coming over to do a podcast.
Because you got to pick your battles or you'll just lose it.
They're going to need to use the bathroom. So I should, you know, clean it. But otherwise, you know, there's everything's everywhere now. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
Like I can't.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
So. You can't worry about it all.
Yeah. Okay. So I have one last question then for you. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I would like God to say, can you do our on hold, please?
Nicole Bailey, you're so awesome. Thank you so much for being a guest.
I loved it. I
loved the best answer ever. Before we sign off, how can people find you?
NicoleBalick.com.
NicoleBalick.com.
Yes, that's the best website. My Instagram page is Mama Behind the Mic, MAMA, Mama Behind the Mic. I would just go to NicoleBalick.com.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
It's been awesome. Mwah.
Mwah.
Thanks for joining me today in the Beehive. For podcast notes, pictures, and more information on my guests, visit the podcast website, thebeehivepodcast.com. Find me at my website, kbess.com. Follow me on Twitter at kbess and subscribe to my channel on YouTube. If you've a mind to, please post a review of the podcast on iTunes. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and good for the bones. Come back for more Women in Voiceover next time in the Beehive.